Welcome to the Mr. Vincent Podcast, episode 131. I'm your host, Emmanuel Vincent, and it's a beautiful Sunday out here. NFL football is going to be all throughout the day, week six. I meant to put this episode out yesterday, but I got derailed of that. Busy day. I didn't get a chance to post the episode, so you guys will be getting it on this Sunday morning. Of course, this episode focuses on, like I mentioned, the NFL. It's me and the homie on Friday evening. He's chopping up about, we have a little vetting session on our pads. And then we also talk about several games taking place today or this weekend with the games being the Browns Niners, Cardinals Rams, and the Monday night game, which should be a real, real good one, between the Cowboys and the Chargers. So that's the gist of this pod, and we could actually get into it right now. There it is. The Patriots are the state of affairs in New England, really, really bad right now. So I went to the game, right? Now, my people I was with, they bought standing room seats. Standing room only, right? So they're like 50, 60 bucks. And I was like, you know what? I was getting ready to buy an actual seat. But like, you know what? I'll just be with them and buy standing tickets. Man, I am so happy I did that. Because if I paid like $200 for a ticket to watch that game, I'd be pissed. We didn't get there early enough because, you know, one thing you had the standing room only seats or whatever. You have to be there like 3 hours in advance to get like right in the front so you could actually see the game. So I was basically watching the game on the TV and watching it unfold. After halftime, we started walking around the whole stadium, walking outside. Yeah, and that stadium is crazy. I don't know if there's any stadium better than that right now in the world.
It's a billion-dollar palace.
Hey, man, I would give them that. I hate Cowboy fans, but I would give them that. That stadium is crazy. I mean, they have like a big-ass football field out there, mad bars out there, DJs. Like, the tailgating is out of the sport out there. I definitely have to go back there for a game again. But yeah, so getting to the point, we suck. Now, I think that your thinking was along the lines of mine going into the season, probably an 8-9, 9-8 record, right?
Yeah, I had us going 8-9 for the season this year.
Which is like kind of been like a repeat of history for us, where we're never bad. We're either good or we're in the middle. And it looks like now it looks like we're probably going to be possibly bad. And I don't think that Bill's even thinking about tanking. I just think that we're just going to be so bad, we might end up with like a top five pick in the draft.
Yeah, I don't think he's legitimately looking at tanking. I think he has like a lot of pride. I think Robert Kraft has said that he's been tired of the losing and he really wants us to win like a playoff game. Going into the season, he put out like a letter. He sent out like a letter to season ticket holders saying that the Patriots were going to improve on what was pretty much like a debacle last year. And here we are. The Patriots pretty much look worse. And I think we're kind of at a crossroads here about what could potentially happen given how things look and how the season projects to go from here.
Yeah, man, this is just bad. So we're right now, 1-4? And we got, we're at Raiders Sunday. Then we host the Bills the week after. Then we at Miami the following week, and we'll host the Commanders on the 5th next month. We can possibly drop 3 of those games. Best case scenario, I see 2-2. We can possibly lose 3 out of the next 4 games.
Yeah, I think this game coming up against the Raiders is a must win. It's kind of funny. We didn't get to do the pod last week. I was on my own podcast, Do Your Pod, that we roll out every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. But I was saying that going into the game last week, that game was a must win. I didn't think we could come back from 1-4. I definitely think if we lose this Raiders game on Sunday, we are going to end up likely being 1-7 because this team is not beating the Buffalo Bills and it's not beating the Miami Dolphins on a second go around, especially given the fact that Matthew Judon and Christian Gonzalez are both like not available.
Oh yeah, they both got hurt in that Dallas game, man.
Exactly.
That was like a big blow.
So this is a big game coming up. I think it's going to determine a lot of what we'll see from the Patriots going forward. I've long been of the opinion that Bill Belichick would have to, I don't know, he would have to like commit like murder in the middle of like Gillette Stadium, like on like the 50-yard line to get fired. I don't know if he'll survive this season. I kind of feel like he will, but if we keep having these blowout losses, I don't think that's going to happen. I am absolutely fine with having like a 3 or 4 win season. You know how I feel about this team that we needed to tank. We've needed to tank for years so we could get the talent on the squad. I think Kraft can tolerate losing if they're competitive losses. Getting smoked 70+ to 3 in like the past 2 weeks is definitely not something that's acceptable, and I don't think it's something that Bill Belichick can survive. So his back is against the wall for this Raiders game for sure.
Yeah, I mean, so how much do you put on this Patriots season thus far? How much do you put of it on Belichick? I was talking to my brother, and he was telling me, like, yeah, he puts a lot of it on Belichick because they had a chance to get D-Hop, but they didn't want to pay him the money he wanted, and then we let him go, and now we're stuck with arguably the worst skill position core in the league. Nobody gets separation on the field. And our running game hasn't been effective all year, which is pretty sad. I thought that was one of our strengths going into the season, and that hasn't even been effective.
I put 95% of it on Belichick. I think for me, it's not so much Belichick the coach, but it is Belichick the GM.
GM, absolutely, yeah.
For me, we've been on a talent drain going all the way back to like the 2017 season. I think we had that 2018 season. He had already been wanted to move on from Brady before then. Luckily, Brady blew that up. He traded Gronk in the 2018 offseason before the season started, and Gronk blew that up, thankfully.
Because Gronk threatened to retire if he got traded to the Lions.
Yeah, he got traded to the Lions. It wasn't it. He did. He got traded to the Lions, said he was going to retire, which blew up the trade, and he came back for his last year with the Patriots. We ended up winning that Super Bowl, but ever since then, it's been a steady talent drain. Gronk left. That pretty much had a really huge impact on our offense. Julian Edelman was starting to get pretty like long in the tooth. We started having offensive linemen leaving after Brady left. Joe Tooney, he had him on the team. He is currently one of the best guards in football. He franchised him during the 2020 season. Didn't trade him or re-sign him. He had Shaq Mason on a pretty good contract for what the league was at the time, and especially for now. Traded him away for like a fourth or fifth round pick, inexplicably. He signed like Cole Strange to replace. He drafted Cole Strange to replace him. He hasn't played well. Isaiah Wynn was a miss at tackle. We had him leave last year, and we've had kind of like a rotating cast of guys who are playing like right tackle who are all horrible. Calvin Anderson's been like a career backup. I don't know what that was about. We drafted City Sow in the mid rounds to as who was a guard in college and tried to convert him to tackle, and that hasn't looked good so far. We signed Riley Reiff, who's like an OT, and they moved him into guard pretty quickly, and he's was on IR and he is out this week after he came off of IR with a knee injury that's still like hurting him. The wide receiver position, he drafted N'Keal Harry. Bust.
And
Hasn't
we could have got AJ Brown that year.
could have gotten AJ Brown that year, who wanted to be a Patriot. I mean, just think of what we could have looked like with AJ Brown right now. I do think a lot of people are kind of giving Bill crap for the Jacoby Myers, letting Jacoby Myers walk. I don't knock him for doing that. I think Jacoby Myers was basically like the number one wide receiver in New England, so you were seeing like the kind of cornerbacks that were pretty much like locking him up. He wasn't getting good separation. He's in Vegas right now with Devontae Adams pulling all the coverage, so he looks a lot better. I think if he was still here in New England, he would look horrible. But it looks like Bill signed to the lemon, and Juju Smith-Schuster, he can't run. He's out this week with a concussion. It's just been one bad free agent signing after another. It's been inexplicable decisions. I think Mac Jones was a mistake. You know, I never wanted Mac Jones. I thought
I wanted Fields.
I thought the thing with Mac Jones is a distributor. He's limited. He doesn't have, I guess you could say his arm is average at best. He can't really do much like outside of the pocket. A guy like that, you need things around him.
But in his defense, though, we talked about it. Running game has been terrible this year. Receivers getting no separation. O-line is dismantled. So he doesn't really have a lot to work with to get the best out of Mac Jones. So I don't know if he should get all this splitter that he's getting from Patriots Nation, because he doesn't really have a lot to work with.
Yeah, I don't necessarily blame Mac Jones. I think Mac Jones would be a very good quarterback and probably around average or maybe a little bit better in the right system with the right players around him. The reason I did not want Mac Jones is because I knew this would happen. I knew he would bring in Mac Jones and he would never, ever put the weapons around him where we could see him flourish. I knew there was not a chance in hell that was going to happen. And that is exactly what happened. You can't put someone like Mac Jones, who does not elevate his teammates. At the end of the day, he is not a talent elevator. He's a cog in the machine, and put these kind of weapons around him and expect good results. The offensive line is not good. The wide receiver core is not good. We do have some running backs, but at the end of the day, running the football is a function of your offensive line and maybe your passing game. If you're able to throw it over the top and people are going to back guys up because they're afraid you're going to throw it over the top. When you watch teams play the Patriots every week, they have like 8, 9, 10 players all around the line of scrimmage playing a lot of single high because they are not afraid of the Patriots throwing it over their heads at all. So nothing can get going. It's a poorly built offense. It's, to me, the worst like offense in the league, and that's bared out by metrics. But I, in terms of just like the personnel, it's like the worst in the league. We do get Tyquan Thornton back this week. He was on IR with a shoulder, out for 4 weeks. Finally get some like speed on the team. Hopefully like that helps, but it's pretty bad. I don't really know how Bill can like fix this. This isn't like something where you can just like scheme it up and just like it turns around. I don't see it.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely can't be fixed overnight, but it's kind of just frustrating for Pats fans seeing how we've been like, it's been several years of this, not to this extent, but several years of just being like mediocre at best. So he's had enough time to actually like get the right pieces and he's failed to do that in the post-Brady era.
The thing to me was Bill, I knew Bill was never going to change. And I was hoping last season, after we were picking in the top 10 and ended up where we were, I thought that would be enough of an impetus for Bill to be like, hey, I really need to invest in some weapons for Mac, and I need to make things better for Mac so we can get like a good look at him in his final year ahead of his the fifth year option that will come up in this offseason before his fourth season. All he did was bring in Bill O'Brien, sign Juju Smith-Schuster, and that was it, really. He didn't draft a tackle in this draft until like City Sal, I believe, in like the sixth, if I'm remembering off the top of my head. He signed Calvin Anderson, who's been a career backup. He signed Riley Reiff, who's old and been dinged up. Clearly he noticed that the Patriots tackle position lacked depth and just wasn't playing well. So he brought in Vidarian Lowe, and he traded for Tyrone Wheatley. And neither one of those guys have like played well either. I don't know, like maybe he felt like he was like Teflon, but it was just like, it's like, what are you doing? But now, thankfully, I think the fact that we just had these two past two games is a good thing, because the first time I think Bill Belichick is actually shook when last week after like losses, he literally had beat reporters asking him why does he think he's the guy to rebuild this franchise and turn things around, and he actually answered the question. It was like, you know, it's like, yeah, it's my job to make it work or something like along those lines, where usually he would talk about like, yeah, the past 25 years where we got like six chips. Like, no, that man is shook, and he knows his back is against the wall. So hopefully maybe it like changes things, maybe it won't. I think either Bill is going to change or he's going to be up out of here, which to either one of those things is like a good thing for me.
Yeah, man. I think that change is definitely needed, and I think that there's expiration date on not on on virtually every type of relationship, potentially. And this one, I think this is the case for one of those. I do think that the league is kind of past Bill Belichick. He's still stuck in his way, like we talked about that before in the pod. I would like to see somebody else come in here and coach the team. And maybe Bill wants to be attached to a quarterback where he can, to a team with talent where he can potentially break Shula's all-time record for most wins on time. And I don't think it's going to happen over here in New England with the way this past couple of years have gone.
It's funny to me because a lot of people say like the league has like passed him by, and I don't even think that's the case. I just think he's stubborn and stuck in his ways, because for years, especially like defensively, Bill had like a type. He really liked big, heavy linebackers who could come take on the guards and set the edge. And over like the last few years, he's turned over the roster. He's gotten a lot more quicker guys on the roster, where you see like a lot of like these hybrid safeties who can kind of give you something in a run game, but they can also cover. And he completely changed over the defense in a lot of ways. You see like a lot of speed, and like the defense was working up until Matthew Judon got hurt and Christian Gonzalez got hurt. That's neither here nor there. But clearly, he understands what is working defensively in this league today. But you can't look at the offense and look and tell that this is like a poorly built. Like, of course you can. Like, you're not you can't be that blind. If I'm a regular guy, who happens to love the game and I don't get paid millions of dollars, and I can look at that offensive roster and be like, this is a fucking problem. What the greatest football coach of all time, who has what like 50 years worth of knowledge in his head, can clearly see that that roster was not good. And it seems like now he's paying the piper for his own decisions.
I couldn't put it better. Yeah, man. So if you had to pick put a percentage on it, what do you think the chances are that he will be the head coach next year for the 2024 season in
Right
New
now,
England?
I'm at like 80%. I think at the end of the day, I think Bill Belichick is still like a great coach. I
Yes, he is.
think if he does get fired, I think there'll be a line out the door for someone wanting him to be like their head coach. I think they gotta figure some things out. Maybe Kraft comes to him and says, "Hey, we need to get you some help as like a GM." Hey, maybe, or he puts like an edict where you need to turn this offense around or like you're fired. But I still happen to think that he's a great coach. I think losing him would hurt us as well. But I do think Kraft needs to get some concessions from him as it relates to him as a GM, whether it's making him promise that he's going to turn around the offense with free agent additions or possibly like a new quarterback that he drafts. Either that, or they get a new GM who has actual like real power to make like personnel decisions.
Yeah, I would go with I'm definitely more than 50%. I'll probably go about 70, 75 that he's going to be back next year. I just feel like he's like there's too much of a relationship there between him and Kraft for Kraft to let him go. But again, they're gonna have to be in the same pit. I feel like Kraft will probably have a meeting with him, let him know that this is what he wants to see improvement, and this is what he wants to see change. And Belichick will do his best to try to improve the roster, whether it's like, you know, signing, doing, like getting skilled players in the first round of the draft, or trying to get a notable free agent that can help this offense. I think that will happen next season.
He has a lot of money. He has a lot of money to work with. In theory, he probably would be picking in the top five or top eight, just based off of the way this team looks. Mm-hmm. I think he's going to need to turn it around and at least be in games if he's going to lose them. But I think the most important thing for me is that I think he'll be back. But I do think if the arrow is not pointing up for the offense in some kind of fashion in the 2024-25 season, I think that's his last year with the Patriots, in my opinion.
Yeah. I agree. I think that he's going to get one more shot at it next season. Yeah, exactly. Before Kraft would cut ties with him, we'll give him one more chance to turn this around and get it in the right direction.
Yeah,
but let's take a quick break and then we can get into a few of these games later for the Sunday. Oh, this weekend, rather. All right, so I figured we could might as well just go in order. 1 o'clock game, a game that we both had our eyes on a couple of weeks ago. I don't know if you still have your eyes on this game, seeing how D. Watson is going to be out, but Browns at Niners. Niners look like right now the best team in the league by far. Just balanced, completely balanced throughout. We saw what they did to Dallas last week on a Sunday night when they made Dak look just embarrassed him essentially. Brock Purdy looking like Joe Montana out there. Now, Browns defense is stellar, but again, no D. Watson. I can't see a scenario where the Browns win this game. What do you say?
Yeah, I don't think the Browns win this game. I am interested to see how that Browns defense does against that Niners offense. I think the Browns have a ton of speed. They have a lot of guys who can cover. They have Myles Garrett, who is an alien from another planet. They have like an aggressive coordinator, Jim Schwartz. I think Jim Schwartz will move him around that front, maybe get him over the center, get him away from Trent Williams, not make him have to work too hard, and see if he can get some pressure on Brock Purdy. But that Niners offense is kind of firing on all cylinders with, I think, Christian McCaffrey is clearly like the MVP of that offense. And honestly, he might be the MVP of the league as of right now, if I had a vote. Brandon Ayuk, that guy is an absolute stud. But again, I think they might have a bit of an interesting defense on their hands with that Cleveland Browns defense, which is like fast and aggressive, and they just have like players all over the place who are extremely like athletic, who might be able to make things a little bit difficult for that Niners offense. But at the end of the day, I think, especially given the fact that Deshaun Watson isn't playing, I believe it's a bruise in his shoulder, and I don't know when he'll be back. I don't see them winning this game. You know, they don't have Nick Chubb, even though they got Kareem Hunt back. Jack Conklin, their starting right tackle, he's been out since like week one or two. I don't see the Browns winning this game, but I am absolutely interested in seeing what that Browns defense versus that Niners offense matchup looks like.
Exactly. I think that would be a good test for this defense, who has been stellar so far in this 2023 season. They're limiting the running backs to under 4 yards per carry. And Myles Garrett, you know, we got like, what, 13 QB hits, 5.5 sacks before a game. So that would be interesting to see how they're going to play. But at the end of the day, I just think that there's too much weapons on San Fran, man. It's like a cheat code out there. We already talked about IU. You got Samuel. We got Kittle. You got McCaffrey, who you said, like, if the league was being serious and didn't just want to make the MVP award a QB award, he would be talked about a lot more than he would be talked about like the QBs right now in the league as far as the MVP goes. And again, like a big part of their game going into the season was the run game for Cleveland, but, you know, Chubb's out. So they got Hunt back, but I don't see how they're going to fare against Fred Warner and Greenlaw. So I definitely think San Fran is going to move on to 6-0. And Browns are going to fall back, which is going to probably hurt them in this race in the AFC North, probably the best division in the league. They was talking about the injury today on the Pat McAfee show. I think they said that injury is usually about 10 to 6 weeks to recover. Sorry, no, sorry, 2 to 6 weeks to recover from. So it's just a bad hit for them, man.
Yeah, I don't really know where it's going to go. I think right now, oddly enough, I think the Steelers are leading like the AFC North, which is absolutely crazy. But Joe Burrow looked healthier last week. He finally looked like he's starting to get back with that game that they had against the Cardinals. And I think Lamar Jackson and the Ravens are still figuring things out. But that Ravens defense has been playing really well. They haven't even had Marlon Humphrey for like the start of the season, and he's supposed to be coming back. So I think this AFC North race will get very interesting, like as this season progresses, and that Browns defense still looks great to me, but that offense is just having a lot of trouble with injuries to key players, if we're being real.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Deshaun looked like he was possibly getting on the right track in his last game he played against the Titans, albeit it was the Titans though. But he had 289 yards, 2 TDs. 123 passer rating in that game. So this is definitely a setback for the team. But again, what do you have for the score of the game? You think? What are you thinking on the lines up? I'm thinking about 25. Well, I'm gonna go 25-12. San Fran.
Yeah, I think San Francisco is gonna win this one like 28-12. I don't even know if the Browns will be able to get into the end zone, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah. It's unfortunate. Hey, what do you think about Purdy so far? Like, do you? I think there's a talk today on social media from First Take. I think the topic was about whether or not Purdy's an elite quarterback. And Shannon said no. He's just been essentially just a product of a great system, having all these pieces and having an offensive mind like Shanahan by his side. He's a good quarterback, but not necessarily the elite. What do you think so far on Purdy?
He's very good. He's not elite.
I agree.
A lot of the Shanahan system is very QB friendly. They're not calling protections. They're not doing really any checks at the line. They're not really responsible for a lot. He has a lot going on around him, a lot of window dressing with someone like the play action. And he's basically got like an all-star cast when you're looking at the wide receivers. In my opinion, Brandon Ayuk is a top 10 wide receiver. Argue with your mama. George Kittle, the only tight end that you can say is better than him is Travis Kelce. And honestly, you could also say that you could argue that Kittle is superior when you're talking about like the full scope of his abilities, blocking and catching.
Blocking, yeah. An elite blocker.
You know, Christian McCaffrey is like a Swiss Army knife of a running back. You know, he can run the football, he can catch the football, he can run routes, you can split him out in the slot. Debo is just such a stud after the catch. Like, it's a great collection of weapons. I think a lot of Niners fans kind of look at Jimmy G and, like, say, like, he sucked. And I guess you could have that opinion. I think when you're looking at him from maybe like a 50,000 feet, when you're looking at him from like a big picture perspective compared to other quarterbacks, his production was very efficient and pretty, like, I don't know, like top 10-ish, top 6-ish as like a quarterback in terms of like his production. And would anybody say Jimmy G is like a good quarterback? Like, we kind of see like what he looks like in Oakland. He's not that good. I think Brock Purdy is just a bit better than Jimmy G, which to me makes him like average-ish, like a little bit above like average. I think he has definitely made some plays and he deserves credit for that, but he's not an elite quarterback at all.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, like I said, like I think that he really is, you know, nothing wrong with that, but he is taking advantage of all the weapons at his disposal and the brilliant offensive mind that is Shanahan. But there are good qualities that you would like in a quarterback like Brock Purdy. I mean, doesn't seem to be rattled. He's very calm, poised. I love that. And he doesn't have the biggest arm at all, but he makes like great passes, like, you know what I'm saying? Like the short intermediate passes. Like, he's good. Good quarterback. Elite? Nah.
Yeah, there's definitely something to be said for someone like him who can come out and just execute, which is great. And I think in the instances where he's been asked to make like some plays, even though like he doesn't have to do a ton, he's he's showed out and proved so far, which is good. He's very good. He's just not elite.
Yeah, I mean, he gives me Alex Smith vibes. Nothing wrong with that. Good. Not
Yeah,
elite.
an
Good.
elite, an elite, an elite quarterback is someone that you can build like your offense around. That offense is not built around like Brock Purdy, and I don't think anybody in the league is saying, I want Brock Purdy to be like the guy that I build like my offensive infrastructure around when he's like getting like market value. I was having a conversation with some football friends who were like talking like football. And you know, like the Niners fans are putting their capes on for Brock Purdy and kind of trying to talk him up as being like great or like close to like elite. And I said, okay, this is what you do. This is what you really need to do. Pay attention to what they're saying right now, and then pay attention to what Niners fans say when Brock Purdy is negotiating for his next deal. Because right now
And they
he's making.
can't keep all that talent around them because they're gonna have to
Exactly.
pay
Right
them.
now,
And
he's making $900,000.
then
Let's see what they say when he asks for like his market value deal, which like going rate for quarterbacks with his kind of production right now is like $50 million. Do you? I guarantee you, Niners fans are going to be singing a different tune.
absolutely, I agree. And that's crazy that so they don't. He's like I said, making $900,000, which allows them to put that resource into other parts of the team because of all the money not going to the quarterback. So they're just like, they're capitalizing off this opportunity, having a Mr. Irrelevant on their team.
They
Just make
sure are.
$900. That I ain't mad at them, man. Hey, did you see when Dan Orlovsky said that if Mac Jones was on that team, he would look like Brock Purdy if he was on the Niners?
I don't think he would look like Brock Purdy because I think maybe he'd be like a little bit better of like a passer, but I do think Brock Purdy is a better athlete than him. Especially like some of like the mobility and being even able to throw and get to outside the pocket, even though like the numbers don't back it up that he's like better than Jimmy G. He has like just like a little bit more juice in his legs. I wouldn't trust Mac if he was like flushed out of the pocket just to like make some of the throws on the run, or maybe like while he's like backing off from pressure that Brock Purdy does. But I think Mac Jones would be very good in that system.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it'd be good. Maybe you're right. You are right. I didn't think about that, but pretty definitely is a better
And
athlete than Mac Jones.
you know what's funny, like given like the area that Brock Purdy is like living in, playing in like San Francisco, you know, like he lives with like a roommate, like he doesn't
Yeah.
live by himself, he has a roommate.
I believe they were talking about that on the telecast last week in the game that he lives in a roommate. Or it could have been the week before, but I remember them saying that. And I think Ocho and I think we're talking about that on that podcast and Shannon, we're talking about that.
Yeah, like $900,000 out there probably ain't really like that much money.
That's crazy. I mean, he could probably live by himself off that in San Fran. You don't think so?
Oh yeah,
I mean, I know it's expensive out
definitely
there.
could. He definitely could, but he's definitely not rich by any means. Not in that area.
Nah, true. All right, so we can move on to the next game. It's gonna be at 4:25. Oh, or 4 o'clock game. Whatever. Cardinals at Rams in AFC West Showdown. The Rams are looking good. I'm not mad. Cardinals, obviously they are the Cardinals. Matthew Stafford's playing well. I'm not gonna knock him, man. I gotta give him his props. He's looking good out there. Just got Cooper Kupp back last week.
I think from a
And
pure,
that rookie's really good too.
yeah,
Nakua.
I think from a pure quarterbacking standpoint, you could to me, I think Matthew Stafford is the best pure quarterback in the NFC, even over Hurts. I think Hurts is a better player right now, but I think Matthew Stafford is a better quarterback when it
And
comes from.
when you say that, you mean just, drop back, survey the landscape, make the pass with your arm, rely on your arm,
Yeah,
that type
rely
of
on
thing.
your arm, rely on like your reads, being able to throw to all three levels right now. That offense with like Jalen Hurts is pretty much like a lot of like screens and just like a lot of like home runs. He doesn't really utilize like the intermediate or like the middle of the field all that well. But that's neither here nor there. I think right now the Rams will go as far as their offensive line takes them. I think that's kind of been like their Achilles heel for that offense. That offense is doing pretty well when the protection is good. I think Puka Nacua is the real deal. He's clearly the best rookie receiver that we've seen in this league so far. They got Cooper Kupp back last week, and he was doing really well
Yeah,
against
he
the
balled out.
Eagles. I think, things got tough for them when the Eagles kind of made an adjustment in the second half, and they were early in that game. In the first half last week, they were hitting like a lot of in-breaking routes with Cooper Kupp, which is what they want to do. Desai, the Eagles DC, kind of made some adjustments and took those away in the second half, and that kind of changed things for like the Rams offense, and the pressure was able to get to them with like Jalen Carter on the inside, who is the runaway defensive rookie of the year right now. Now that Gonzo is out, I think they'll go as far as their offensive line takes them. I think Stafford is looking rejuvenated. He's looking really good. I think Tutu Atwell has finally started to deliver on like some of the promise he's shown. He's like their deep threat. Between Puka and Cooper, they can attack like all three levels of the field along with Tutu Atwell. Yeah, I think it's really going to come down to the protection. I think that defense is like scrappy. It's nothing like crazy, but I think they'll beat the Cardinals. I think the Cardinals have been in every game this year. Josh Dobbs, they're able to use him in like the run fits, like running him and kind of being able to keep that offense on schedule as best they can. The defense has been playing well. They play well for like Gannon, but I think the Rams are going to go.
I mean, they got exposed last week by Burrow and Chase. Chase had 15 catches on that secondary. So I think that Nacua and Kupp is going to be a lot for them to deal with for 60 minutes.
Yeah, I think they'll definitely have like a tough time of it, but it's also like an intradivisional game where these teams,
Always tricky.
yeah, it's always tricky. They'll play each other like a lot closer than people might think, but I think the Rams are going to win this game.
Yeah, I got the score being like 21-17.
I have this Rams 27 and the Cardinals 23.
Yeah, man. And obviously, we didn't talk about James Conner going to be out dealing with the knee injury. So that's a
Yep,
big loss
that
for
I
them,
believe
too.
this would be like the second week he's out. I think he was out last week as well. I think they've either been putting guys or IR, or guys have just been kind of dropping off that roster piece by piece. They definitely went to the season like looking to tank, and unfortunately, it seems like those guys are playing too hard, where they're gonna end up kind of putting themselves out of range for the maybe like the quarterback they might have been looking for to replace Kyler with.
Yeah, man. Hey, and Nikola, he cut off the PUP list this week. So theoretically, he can play. He's not going to play.
He
But
can't play, but you probably won't see him until like November at the earliest, or November, maybe even December.
when did he get hurt again? Was it like December when he got hurt? They'll play in the Pats. But I'm trying to think, when was that? When did that happen last year? Was it during November or December?
I don't remember, but
I
I
can probably
feel
find
like
out right now. Because I want to find out.
it was December 12th of last year. So yeah,
Okay.
I would imagine you probably don't see him until like December.
Yeah. I mean, at this point, is it do you want to bring him back at that point? Just, sit him out for the year.
But I think they would have to just to be able to show that he's like healthy, because they would want to like trade him if they're in a position to replace him with a draft pick, which they might not. They might not.
Man.
Because if you look on Tankathon, I mean, right now we are actually in fifth as of right now, but if the season were to end today, the Arizona Cardinals, with their two picks between their own and Houston's, they're like at 7-9, and that would probably put them out of range for a quarterback they would want to replace Kyler with.
Oh, okay. Damn. Well, yeah, that sucks. All right, so we can talk about this last game here. A Monday night game. The Dallas Cowboys traveled to LA to take on Justin Herbert and the Chargers. looking to redeem themselves from a nightmarish Sunday night performance against the Niners. Now they are going to LA. Doesn't really have a strong, there's no real fan base there, so Cowboys will be deep in that, deep in SoFi, but I'm not sure the Cowboys will come out here and win this game. I really like the Chargers in this game, and I want to hear who you like in this game and why.
Actually, I like the Cowboys in this game. I think, for one, I think Staley has been bailed out in a couple of late wins by some, like, I don't know, decisions that didn't go well. And I also think that the Mike Williams injury impacted that team a bit more than, like, people think. I think, their last game against the Raiders didn't really look good. It didn't really look good, but I also think that they lost that explosive component over the top because they could throw deep to him, and it just made things, like, it made things work. They do have Quentin Johnston, so we'll see how that works out. I think he needs to, like, step up, but the fact that he's, like, a first-round pick and hasn't really gotten much burn up until Mike Williams got hurt, he's like a big concern for me. I do think that Cowboys defense is like that. They're going to show up and they're going to get after it in that game. But I do think that the Cowboys offense is having some difficulties. I think Mike McCarthy isn't it. I think I used to listen last year to Cowboys fans complain all the time about, like, Kellen Moore. And I'm kind of like, I don't think Kellen Moore is, like, that bad of an OC. And clearly, like, he wasn't, because they got him up out of there, and Mike McCarthy is so conservative that he's basically, like, hamstrung that offense to where they're one of the worst red zone teams in the league, and they're not moving the ball as well as they should, given, like, their personnel. It just doesn't really, like, make sense. It's funny.
Not getting the ball to CeeDee Lamb, that's crazy.
Yeah.
He's your number one receiver. I don't know if he's a true number one, but he's your number one. What the hell is going on?
Yeah, Cowboys fans hated, like, Kellen Moore, and as of right now, the Cowboys are one of the bottom five teams in red zone scoring, and the Chargers, who just got Kellen Moore, are one of the top five teams in red zone scoring. So clearly, I don't think – I think maybe Kellen Moore was, like, a little bit too aggressive when he was the Cowboys OC, but, like, ultimately, like, it's kind of one of those things. Like, it just, like, kind of like how we were talking about with, like, Belichick. The grass isn't always greener, and I think the Cowboys fans are, like, finding that out, but I do think the Cowboys win this game.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that storyline. Kellen Moore going up against his old team. And now he's doing good things for the Chargers on offense, while the Cowboys' offense is struggling. They're not really as efficient as they were last season. I believe I heard on ESPN today they're scoring about 5 points fewer than they did last year. So I'm sure that has a lot to do with it, not having that OC there.
Offensively, you just, like, have to be, like, aggressive. Not everybody can just dink and dunk and convert those long drives, like, into points. I think that's kind of what Mike McCarthy's offense, like, looks like. It's, like, a lot of, like, it's, like, static formations, but it's very, very conservative. You know, they want, like, run game, and they kind of want Dak to kind of throw, like, a bit shorter and intermediate, so it's just, like, there's less chance of, like, turnovers, but it's, like, hamstringing, like, your offense, because it just, when you're playing like that, you're increasing the amount of plays that you need to score, like, a touchdown, and when you're increasing the amount of plays that you need to score of a touchdown, you're giving yourself more of a chance that something will go wrong and you end up either kicking a field goal or punting. When you're more aggressive and you're getting more yards per play, you have to execute, you're executing less plays, so there's less of a chance to, like, go wrong, even though you might throw, like, an interception or two. So to me, I think they way overcorrected. I think Mike McCarthy is definitely somebody who, like, the league passed him by offensively, and he said after he left Green Bay then ended up coming back to the Cowboys that he, you know, like, he started, like, watching and looking at analytics, and he was going to adjust, and clearly that's not the case.
He lied. He definitely lied, man. I like the Niners because I think they're going to wreak havoc on Dak, particularly Bosa and Mack. The Chargers do have three players with at least three sacks in the season. I think that they can put a lot of pressure on him. And when you get pressure on Dak, he tends to get rattled. And I'm also banking on, Austin Eckler to finally come back. We haven't played since week one. There's a good chance I heard he can play for the game. I tried to look at the status and any update for this pod, and I didn't see one. But he's somebody who could help not only in the run, but with the pass as well. So if he plays too, I really like their chances. And Herbert is just been crazy through four games because they had a bye last week. Seven touchdowns, 106 passer rating, 276 and a half yards per game. He's just on a tear right now.
Yeah, I mean, I've always been of the opinion that Justin Herbert is the third best quarterback in football.
From a talent standpoint, you said.
Yeah, just period. I stand on that. I think the only quarterbacks that are better than him are Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen. I think him and Burrow are like neck and neck, but I give a slight edge to Herbert with his arm talents. I do think some people, in my opinion, are overreacting a bit to Dallas losing to San Francisco. I think San Francisco is the better team and just more talented. But I also think a lot of their San Francisco specific strengths are like Dallas's like weaknesses. I think if you look at that Dallas defense, what they're bad at stopping runs to the edge, which the San Francisco 49ers are really good at. And they don't defend the middle of the field in terms of the passing game really well, which the San Francisco 49ers are really good at. And then on the other side of the football, Dak, he's kind of a middle of the field merchant. He throws to the middle of the field and the intermediate levels, middle of the field, a lot better than he does like outside the numbers. But because of like Fred Warner, the 49ers defense are able to like take that area of the field away. So he always ends up having god awful games against the 49ers. So I saw that loss coming. I didn't think it would be that bad, but I was never of the opinion that the Cowboys were able to beat the 49ers. But I still think they're a good team. I think they definitely have a realistic chance to win the NFC East. Even though the Eagles are undefeated right now. But I think some of the frying of Dak because of how the game went against the 49ers is like overblown, even though that offense definitely is a concern.
I mean, yeah. It's definitely overblown because, like I said, San Fran is the cream of the crop. They're really the best team right now in football. I don't think it's close. I think the only thing that can derail them is injuries to one of their three main offensive players, whether it's Kittle, Samuel, McCaffrey. Will they be able to hold up through the rest of the season? Only time will tell. I think the only thing that could derail them. So, yeah, it is definitely overblown. But I just think that is because, you know, the Cowboys are the America's, quote-unquote, America's team. So when they get all the praise, people just wait for their downfall and wait to, like, you know, go over the top with their takes and everything. So I think that plays up. That is actually accurate.
Shout out to Stephen A. Smith.
he doesn't miss a beat when it comes to the Cowboys losing.
He sure don't.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I definitely still like the Chargers in this game. Now the fact that they are coming up a bye could be a problem for them. Might take a little while to get in the game, and the fact that they don't really have a true home field advantage. Because Cowboys fans travel like none other. But I think they're going to win this game. I like it. I'm going with about 30 to 21. LA. I was about to say San Diego.
give me the Cowboys 24 to 20.
Okay. All right. Dallas, man. All right. Yeah. So, I mean, I think it's going to be a good game. It's got to be one of the better games slated for Monday night for the season. I actually can't wait.
Yeah, I think it's probably, like, the best game of, like, the slate for this this weekend. I don't really see anything that's impressing me.
It's definitely the best game of this week, sure.
Yeah, you know, we'll see how things go down for our squad. I do think the Patriots are going to lose this game, given that I think Max Crosby will be on an absolute tear, and we don't really have great cornerback depth right now. So I think the Raiders are gonna win this game, but hopefully it's just like a competitive loss.
Yeah, hopefully. I don't want to. I'm happy. I'm not kind of happy now. I didn't actually book a flight to Vegas for this game after what I've seen the last 2 weeks. do I really want to be in Vegas to watch the Pats play? Probably not. Yeah, I want to be in Vegas, but I don't want to be in Vegas to watch the Pats play.
I was going to go to two games. I was going to go to the Chargers and the Chiefs, but now I feel like I'm just going to go to one the way things are looking. Because it's just like, what, do I really want to watch my team like get killed? Do I want to pay hundreds of dollars to get killed? No, but maybe I also think that I'm glad I didn't buy my tickets ahead of time because I feel like the ticket prices are going to drop now the way they've been playing.
So I'm guessing if you're going to go to one, you're probably going to go to L.A. instead of KC?
We'll see. I have some friends who are coming in town for the game against the Chiefs, so I might do that one. But I'll make a decision in these next couple weeks because I probably should get on buying those tickets.
Yeah, man, you should. Or just buy the day of, man. Yeah, I talk about that all the time. How can nobody listen to me? Just buy your tickets the day of the game. Go on a StubHub, Game Time app. You can get some good deals like an hour before the game, half an hour before the game. That's what I do.
Yeah, I might think about it. I might think about it.
Yeah, tickets never sell out. Hey, I wanted to ask you, too. I didn't think we talked about this. The team so far, not looking like themselves in terms of offense, like an explosion on offense that we're accustomed to seeing in the Pat Mahomes era. Do you have concerns about them in terms of them getting back to the Super Bowl or at least reaching the AFC Championship game for this? It would be the sixth consecutive year if they do this year. Do you have concerns about that?
That's an interesting question. I've had a lot of discussions with a lot of different people about it. For me personally, I give, at this point in their careers, I give Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid the benefit of the doubt. In my opinion, is that does that offense work right now, or is it looking good? No.
But their defense is.
Their defense is great, yeah. I think if you're looking at that offense, last year, they lost Tyreek Hill. They lost some of that explosive element, and they just became extremely efficient. They were just Mahomes was just hitting a lot of doubles and triples. He wasn't hitting the deep shots as much, and then they were just running the ball really, really well. If you're watching that offense this year, the run game is still there, but they're just not hitting the doubles and triples as frequently and as efficiently as they were last year, and they still look like they're still kind of figuring things out. I don't think Mahomes has played as well from the pocket as he did last year. I think his entire career, he's always been elite outside of the pocket and outside of structure. And that's still there, in my opinion. Maybe not so much throwing. He's been converting a lot of third downs with his legs, if you've watched the games.
Yeah, he definitely has. And I know that they don't really want to put him in that position, Andy Reid, because they want to be conservative with him in terms of taking a hit, him getting injured.
Yeah, I think it's guys, especially if they see they're locking up guys, and he sees guys and not getting open, he's just going to convert it himself, and he's very good at doing that. But to me, I think they're trying to figure out getting him back to where he was last year, throwing the football from the pocket. I think everybody kind of has a little bit of blame. I think Mahomes himself, he's made some bad plays, which will happen. And I think that offense, they're figuring out maybe who are the guys, because they lost Juju last year, and that connection when MVS hasn't been hitting the same. I think last year, him when he did throw to MVS, it was a bit more efficient. This year, this hasn't really been hitting at the same level. But I think Rashee Rice is emerging a bit, where he's kind of one of the guys that they can rely on when it comes to zone. And I think they maybe need to figure out somebody who can get away from man, along with Travis Kelce, just being Travis Kelce and trying to keep him healthy. He's been dinged up a little bit this season, but I feel like they'll figure it out. I think they're in that win ugly part of their dynasty, which we've seen with the Patriots, where they would just win ugly. They wouldn't necessarily dominate people, but they would win games, and they would win the tough games, and that's so far what the Kansas City Chiefs have been doing.
Yeah, like you said, it's kind of hard not to give Andy Reid and Pat Mahomes the benefit of the doubt based on what we've seen transpire the last several seasons. I'm with you, man. I think they're going to figure out this offense. I think they're going through a period of trying to find their identity on offense, just losing the enemy. But we talk about that defense is top five in the league right now. Pat Mahomes is the best in the league. They still got the best tight end in the league. It's just trying to get those pieces involved and trying to see how the pieces fit in terms of the receiver and everything.
And it's kind of funny. I think So like last year, they were number one in the league, and they're one of the best offensives like ever in terms of like efficiency. They've clearly like dropped off this year, but they're still like I think they're like top 10 in like DVOA or like in EPA. And I have to go like look it up. I think they're like sixth, so it's like they're not that bad. But I will say again, a lot of it is Mahomes converting downs like with his legs, and like I don't think they want to like rely on that, especially as they get deeper in the season. So they're going to try to like figure out how they can get him back humming from within the pocket like they did last year.
Yeah. No. Well. So we're on the same page. We think that they'll be fine because of the respect we have for that duo, that coach QB duo down there. Yeah, they'll be all right.
Yeah, Reed knows his offense, and Patrick Mahomes is the best in the game. They'll be okay.
Word. All right. So I guess we can wrap it up now. What do you got planned for the weekend? Anything?
Just some analytics and getting some work done, and a birthday party, and that's about it.
Oh man, yeah, I'll probably go to the event in Cambridge tomorrow. It's like a family event, with, like arts and crafts, cookout type thing over there at Columbia Park. So I'll be there tomorrow and probably just watch the game. Oh, and go visit my sister and my pops tomorrow too as well. No, I'll do that Sunday and then watch them in the games too as well. So that's my
Sounds
weekend.
good. Sounds good. I'll keep an
Yeah.
eye out for the pod, and we'll do the damn thing next week.
All right, man. All right, man. Yo, take care, man. Appreciate you again. We'll talk throughout the week.
Absolutely not a problem.
All right. All right, that is that for this episode. Thank you guys for your support. Salute to the homie Ease for jumping on this pod. Be sure to hit that subscribe button if you haven't already, as this pod is available just about everywhere you listen to your favorite podcasts at, including Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and several other platforms as well. And also be sure to follow the Instagram page of this podcast at the Mr. Vincent Pod. Again, that is at the Mr. Vincent Pod. You guys enjoy your Sunday. Have fun watching these games, and whatever you do, please do it responsibly. Till next time, take care.